Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya'i wal mursalin sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Allahumma shalli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Monday 30th of April 2001. Sorry about these arrangements today, but I hope we're comfortable. If you like, I can sit down as well. I don't mind. Are you okay with the way I'm sitting? You sure? Right. Last week we were doing wilayat. And wilayat, what we discussed, that the first division of wilayat is wilayatul amma and wilayatul khasa. Wilayatul amma means a general wilayat that would establish that there is supposed to be a guide, a prophet, and an imam. But not who is supposed to be the prophet or the imam. That will be wilayat amma. Wilayat khasa would mean to establish from the verses of the Quran that this office of the wilayat belongs to our holy prophet or belongs to Imam Ali al-Islam and his sons. So these are two different, first two divisions, wilayat al-amma and wilayat al-khasa. We were looking at wilayat amma. In wilayat amma, we further divided it into four different wilayats. First wilayat al-hub, that means friends and love. So when the Sunnis claim that Mawla, that the word Imam, that the Holy Prophet used in Ghadir, means a friend, they take it out from Wilayat al-Hub. Then there was Wilayat al-Imama, which means spiritual guidance. That office of a spiritual guide belongs to somebody. Somebody must be a spiritual guide at all times. And the third thing was Wilayat al-Za'ama. This wilayat al-za'ama or wilayat amrul mu'mineen would mean that a person has control over or is a leader over not just spiritual guidance but over other socio-political affairs. And the fourth thing which we are going to discuss today is wilayat al-mutlaqa. Now wilayat mutlaqa means total control over things. It's not only leadership in spiritual guidance or leadership in socio-political affairs, but it is total control over things. Now, what we mean by that is what we shall discuss today. From wilayat amma, we looked at these three or four things. Actual fact, they are divided into further two different concepts, wilayat tashri'iyya and wilayat takwiniyya. Look, I'm giving you the Arabic words because these Arabic words form an important part of understanding what it is. Wilayat tashri'iyya is from the word sharia. Sharia is legislation. Wilayat tashri'iyya means wilayat that has been endowed by Allah. So when you talk of wilayat of, for example, a father over a son, or somebody who inherits a deceased, that is also called waliyul mayyit, right? All these are wilayat tashri'iyya. Wilayatul hub, wilayatul imama, wilayatul za'ama, all these are wilayat tashri'iyya. These are offices that Allah has endowed, that there must be somebody. There must be a guide, there must be a prophet. So that is wilayat tashri'iyya. But when it comes to wilayat mutlaqa, that means total control, we are talking of wilayat takwiniyya. Now, takwini means inherent. Absolute control over things. See, the concept when you say, innama waliyukumullah wa rasuluh, that means his messenger and Allah. Allah's wilayat is different from the wilayat of the Holy Prophet. Allah has control over everything. Allah has control over those things that we cannot even comprehend can be done or can do. That control Allah has. Allah has control over even the system of cause and effect. Sicknesses, diseases, cures, all these things Allah has control over. And that is wilayat takwiniyya. That means He has inherent control over things. What happens, when it happens, how it happens, how it can change, all that control is Allah's. Now the question here is, that do the prophets and the imams have a wilayat takwiniya or not? And this is a very important fundamental question. You see, when people oppose, why do you pray to the Prophet, or why do you pray to Hazrat Abbas, or why do you pray to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they cannot answer your queries. They cannot respond to your needs. What do we as Shias, now imagine this, we as Shias, what do we answer? The first answer that comes to your mind, we're not praying to them, we're praying to Allah, right? We're praying through them, meaning that they will ask for what we want. And their prayers are heard, and therefore Allah will answer our prayers. But today we want to see from the Quran that can they have the power to say yes and do things or not. It is a very subtle and important difference. Alaykum salam. That I believe that when I pray to Imam Hussein alayhi salam for a certain need of mine, I am asking from him and not from Allah. Is this shirk? Or do I believe that Allah has given him the powers to do it? I pray, to some degree we tend to be apologetic by saying, we are just using them as intermediaries. Okay, we are praying to them knowing at the back of our mind that we are praying from, we are asking from Allah. So that means, on the other hand, we are negating the possibility that these personalities have the power to do these things. Do they or do they not? Simple. That is a simple question. Do these personalities have the power to have inherent control over things so that when they ask something, be it becomes? When they say this person should be cured, he is cured, finished. Without them having to go through the process of either saying Ameen to what you ask for or praying to Allah that this person has come to me, you answer his queries. I am endorsing his application, for example. There is a difference between the two concepts. Now, our business, and today we'll see from the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given certain control to His chosen ones. And this control is by the permission of Allah, but it is by, by a general sort of permission. It is not like every time they want to do, they ask. It is a power that Allah has endowed on these personalities. And when they do these things, that is why we ask from them. Because we believe that Allah has vested into them, or rather endowed with them, the powers that will make them able to give us what we want. So, Quran yandar, there are at least 3 different incidents. 5-6 different verses that show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave these kind of powers to different people. And off the cuff, we have done all these verses. If you try and recall what are these verses, then everything will relate to chaos. But we will study the verses. But if you try and recall what are the incidents, what have you learned from the Quran that gives credibility to this concept? Or it endorses, reinforces this concept that Allah gives power to His chosen ones, power to do things that ordinary human beings cannot do. And these things we would call miracles, we would call abnormal phenomena, whatever we call it. But Allah has given these powers to ordinary human beings, His messengers, other people, and so on, which is mentioned in the Holy Quran. And these are the verses we'll look at today to understand that when we claim that Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have got the power themselves, it is wilaya takwiniya and not wilaya tashri'iya. Wilaya tashri'iya they have. Wilaya tashri'iya is the power to rule, the power to guide, the authority to control all socio-political affairs. All these powers they have. These are endowed on them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But over and above these wilayat, the one thing that the Sunnis cannot comprehend is this wilaya takwiniya, that we can prove from the Holy Quran that it has been endowed to other people and it can be endowed to the whole of Ahlul Bayt. The first incident that comes to mind is that of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Surat Ali Imran, verse number 48 and 49. This is talking of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Verse number 48, where he says, قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, that I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. And what is the sign? The sign is that I create from clay a skeleton or a mold of a bird. فَأَنْفُخُ فِيهِ فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Right? The underlying principle is Allah's permission. Without Allah's permission, nothing will happen. It is Allah who has endowed on him. But it is not that he created the mold and then said, oh Allah, please, you know, give life to this bird. No. فَأَنْفُخُ فِيهِ, I will do the action of blowing into the bird. And this bird will become alive. That means the power of creating or giving life has been given to Prophet Isa alayhi salam by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, he says, I can وَأَبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. It's number 49 only, yeah? So these powers that Prophet Isa al-Islam was displaying were not reduced to him praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, or were not reduced to him asking from Allah to show these miracles to the people. No. These were powers that were given to him. He was in control of these things. He used to go and revive the dead and heal the sick and the lepers. Right? To do that, displaying at the same time, he used to continuously say that I am doing this by the powers that Allah has taught me. But it is wilaya takwiniya. He had control over things that nobody else has, only Allah. And Allah handed over the reins of control on those incidents, special cases, to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, alayhi salam. If you look at Surah Al-Ma'idah 110, the same thing is mentioned now in a conversation between Allah and Prophet Isa. Surah Al-Ma'idah 110, sorry. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ اذْكُرْ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَتِكَ إِذْ أَيَّدْتُكَ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ تُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا وَإِذْ عَلَّمْتُكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ بِإِذْنِي فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهَا فَتَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِي وَتُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ بِإِذْنِي وَإِذْ تُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِي. The same activities that Prophet Isa was allowed to do, Allah is reminding him that I gave you the powers to do these things. So that means that whoever Allah gives the powers, we will see about Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam as we go on, but as Allah can give, principally Allah gives these powers to certain people. One is Prophet Isa alayhi salam. We go to another person, Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. Surah Sad, Surah number 38, verse number 36. فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ رُخَاءً حَيْثُ أَصَابَ. When Prophet Sulaiman asked for a kingdom from Allah, And he said, give me a kingdom that you have never given anybody before me, nor will you give one after me. Allah gave him a kingdom. Included in that kingdom was not only control over every creature of Allah, every creation of Allah, but over and above that, Allah gave him control over wind. Right? Something that nobody has before or after. A king who can control the wind. And here Allah says, فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ رُخَاءً حَيْثُ أَصَابَ. You also have 2181, which talks about the same thing. وَلِسُلَيْمَانَ الرِّيحَ عَاصِفَةً تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. These are powers, right, that Allah endows on His messengers. Right? This is Prophet Sulaiman. You come to Prophet Musa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Baqarah verse number 60 and Surah Shu'ara, that is Surah number 26 verse number 63. Both of these verses talk about the ability that Allah asked. When Prophet Musa asks for water for his people, Allah tells him to strike with his staff on the rock. And when he does that, there are 12 different springs for each tribe of Banu Israel. And they have their source of water from a rock, yeah? So just by striking a staff or a rod on a stone or a rock, the water comes out. Again, that is not something ordinary people can do. These are powers, unique phenomena, miracles, call them whatever, that Allah endows, Allah guides, and then gives them the power, right? So Prophet Musa alayhi salam did not have to say a certain name as such, by Allah I'm asking you what. Strike there, because Allah has given him the power. These are incidents which show that Allah gives powers to prophets and messengers. Now, before I go on to the third or fourth example in the Quran, can anybody else think of an example from the Quran? Surah Naml, Ahsan. Surah Naml, story of? Asif bin Barkhiya. This is Surah Naml. Surah Naml, 16, eh? That is Nahl. 27 verse number 40. You see, when Prophet Sulaiman asks his people, قَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَلَأُ مَنْ يَأْتِينِ أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِ بِعَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. And this is regarding the throne of Bilqis. Okay, who will bring the throne of Bilqis before they come to me having surrendered? قال عفريت من الجن أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك. I can bring it. Somebody from a jinn, عفريت من الجن, said, I can bring this throne before you stand up from your seat. وإني عليه لقوي أمين. قال الذي عنده علم من الكتاب أنا آتيك به قبل أن يرتد إليك طرفك. I can bring the seat before you blink your eye. And he did that even without waiting, because whilst you wait for Prophet Sulaiman to say yes, right, Iblis is yes. That is why the verse continues, فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عَنْدَهُ قَالَ هَذَا الَّذِي قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّهِ. So, one Asif bin Barkhiya, who was not even a prophet, according to some narrations he was a prophet, but not according to the Quran. According to some history or narration, he was a prophet. This person in the court of Prophet Sulaiman, who was not an Ulul Azam prophet, had the ability to travel such vast land and such vast distances, long distances, and bring the throne before the blink of an eye. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi was asked this question, that how did Asif bin Barkhiya do this? And the Imam gave a reply that Asif, who could do this, kana ya'lamu ism asma al-aram. He used to know only one name out of the names of Allah, the Asma'ul A'zam, only one name. And using that name, he was able to travel such distances at such fast speeds and bring the throne. And we, the Ahlul Bayt, have 72 names out of 73, leaving one that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know so many names. You can imagine, if this person knows only one name and has the powers to do so many things, Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have the names of 72 such names. They have the power to do so many things. They can do so much. The only thing, and this is found so many times in history, it is found that the Imams or the Prophet would not do that in fear that people will not be able to comprehend. See, I have not read this somewhere, but I have heard from a reliable source that when a person came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and said, I believe you are a manifestation of God, right? The Imam killed him and, you know, ordered him to die. And then revived him again and said, say you are wrong. The man said, no. Samajh?
And even more convinced.
Even more convinced. The powers are there, inherently there. Either they did not manifest it in public because of the lack of people's understanding. People will misunderstand this. They never claimed that they were gods, no. Hasha. They were but human beings. But there is a difference between their human beings and we. Vast difference, I mean, no comparison. Yet people can say Prophet Muhammad was just an ordinary human being. He was not an ordinary human being. He was a human being who possessed these powers. And these powers were endowed to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what we call wilayat taqwiniyah. Any questions? No question. Jeeva. Yes. Je powers khuda diye, right? These powers can be taken back. If you remember the story of Bala'a ibn Ba'ura, Bala'a ibn Ba'ura was Fansalakha. Remember, we used this word Fansalakha. He slipped, if you remember, we did this verse sometime here. Bala'a ibn Ba'ura was during the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and he used to have the powers to be able to view what is going on up above in Arsh. Arsh is the place where the angels come and take orders and go and carry out orders. Now, he could see that with his eyes because of that level of piety that he had derived at. But by jealousy, when Prophet Musa was appointed a prophet, he slipped. Right? The word used in the Quran is fansalakha, that means he slipped. And when he slipped, he fell. He fell so much so that his example in the Quran is like that of a dog. Right? So you can imagine ordinary people, and I'm talking of ordinary because we're not talking of Ma'asumin alayhi salam. Ordinary people can attain that level. But the higher they go, the easier they fall. Right? And it's more difficult to maintain that level once you arrive there. But yes, it can be taken away. We've got to understand also that people who are given these powers are people who have the wisdom of understanding and knowing when to use it. You will not find them ever abusing or misusing it. Because, you know, we can abuse it and misuse it for our own personal prejudices, for our own personal gains, sometimes thinking we are doing the right thing. We even have the audacity sometimes to justify that we are doing it right. Right. But these were people who knew exactly.
Last time we were discussing, you said that normal people like us can get these powers by raising our spirituality. But having if you, for example, abuse it, by that very nature, you're destroying your own spirituality, and so you lose power.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So it's not like you can have them and abuse them, you can't. By going to abuse them,
you see, by having them and then you abuse it, you lose them.
But you lose the spirituality.
You lose the spirituality for which you lose the power. Right? And until you have that ability in you to discern when to rightfully use it, you will not get the power. You remember that story of Ismail Azam that we were talking about, the person who saw a man who had Ismail Azam being attacked every day, yet all he had to do was to invoke Allah using the name, the Ismail Azam. But he never did. Why? Because that was not for what Ismail Azam is used. So, right, it's like a circle, right? But that secret, that power will not come into one until one has the ability to discern what is right and what is wrong.
What do they use the power for? Because they don't use the power for converting.
The power to do what?
They don't use the power that they have. They never use the converting people. Not by you convert them, but showing them.
Miracles. By showing miracles. Okay. They did. The imams did, the prophets did, and we're going to read one particular incident, which is a very interesting incident. The ordinary people will never do that, because ordinary people are not guides. A miracle is done to prove the office of messenger. Okay, we have brought a message, we have a connection with divinity, and this is the message, and here is my evidence. Right? Ordinary people don't have that, okay, they are messengers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore don't have to prove. So any kind of manifestation or display by ordinary people without the backup of that office of messengership, as we say, okay, by da'wah nahui, you know, they are not claiming messengership or prophethood, then all that cannot be a miracle. A miracle has to be in support of a message, right? So whatever we see in spiritual accomplishments, right? We said earlier that spirituality is something, spirituality per se itself is something that can be established by ordinary human beings, and mystical powers can be attained by ordinary human beings, not necessarily Muslims only. But when it comes to Muslims, it has that slant of Islam, the belief in Allah and the understanding, right? Any other questions?
Ji.
Yusuf and Yaqub also?
No, aside from the miracle aspect, there is one very interesting aspect in Surah Yusuf where, what we were coming back to earlier, that asking the Imam to forgive you, or to forgive your sins, rather than God to forgive your sins. Take for example the certain power, the delegating. What shows in this surah is that the brothers ask forgiveness for their mistake
from Yusuf and Yaqub
first, and then Yaqub later on. And both prophets answered the same one. Both of them didn't say, I forgive. They said, God has forgiven. And both, very interesting the way they answered. If you look at, for example, Surah Yusuf, this is ayat number 19.
Ayat number?
19, Surah Yusuf. Where Allah, where they obviously realize that this is Yusuf. قالوا إنك لأنت يوسف.
قال أنا يوسف وهذا أخي.
فمن الله علينا إنه من يتقي ويصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. In the 91, they ask for it. قالت الله لقد أخذك الله. وإن كنا لخاطئين. He tells them, قال لا تصريبا
عليكم اليوم يغفر الله
لكم. يغفر الله لكم. He has actually said, God is forgiven. Right? They have asked, they have said, we have made a mistake. God has forgiven. And then the next page, if you go to 90, when they go to their father, which one is it?
قالوا يا أبانا استغفر لنا ذنوبنا 97. إنا كنا خاطئين. قال سوف أستغفر لكم ربي.
Again, he says, they are asked for forgiveness, but he says, your Lord has forgiven.
See, the translation here is wrong.
Here it says, soon I will ask forgiveness from the Lord.
Yes.
So one.
No, translation is not wrong. Translation is right. Abbas.
Yes.
97. قال. No, no. Any pillar. قال يا أبانا استغفر لنا. Is not اغفر لنا.
Ask forgiveness.
Ah.
But he has given it. He has said, right? He says, soon I will ask.
Sofa astaghfir. Okay, what we don't understand here is that when they asked for their father to seek forgiveness for them, was it from Allah or from Yusuf? Because in Yusuf here,
I think it was from Allah.
It is from Allah.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah. يغفر الله لكم.
No, Allah will
forgive you.
No, translation might say
name. And English? Yeah, 35 tickets, sorry. Shall we break for prayers and reconvene? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al anbiya wal mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We're talking about Wilayat Taqwiniyya. Ek hadith that I must quote is from Nahjul Balagha. Nahjul Balagha, khutbah number 192. Al-Khutbah Al-Qasiyah, as it is called. This is a narration of Imam Ali al-Islam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Of what he saw the Prophet doing and what his comments were. Imam Ali al-Islam in this khutbah says that I was with the Holy Prophet when a group of Quraysh came to the Holy Prophet and said, Ya Muhammad, innaka da'aita azeeman. You have made a very grand claim by saying hey, you are a messenger. We want to ask you something. If you do that thing, we will accept you as a messenger, a prophet and a messenger. وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ عَلِمْنَا أَنَّكَ سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ. And if you don't do it, then we know that you are a magician and a liar. سَاحِرٌ and كَذَّابٌ. سَاحِرٌ and a magician. Sorcerer. كَذَّابٌ is a liar. فَقَالَ رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَمَا تَسْأَلُونَ. And the Holy Prophet, this Imam Ali al-Islam is narrating this khutbah, that I was with the Prophet when a group of Quraysh came and they said this. The Prophet asked, "Ma tasalun? What are you asking?" قالوا تدعو لنا هذه الشجرة حتى تنقلع بعروقها وتقف بين يديك. That we want you to call this tree so that it comes out from its roots together with its roots and comes to you. فقال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And the Holy Prophet then said, إن الله على كل شيء قدير. Allah سبحانه وتعالى has power over everything. فإن فعل الله لكم ذلك. If Allah does that for you. These are the words the Prophet used. فإن فعل الله لكم ذلك أتؤمنون وتشهدون بالحق. Will you bring faith and testify is true? قالوا نعم. People said yes. Yeah. Awesome. Now the Prophet is telling them that if I do this, if Allah does it, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا فَعَلَ فَإِنْ فَعَلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ لَكُمْ. Sorry. قَالُوا نَعَمْ فَإِنِّي سَأُرِيكُمْ مَا تَطْلُبُونَ. The Holy Prophet is saying, I will show you what you are asking for. وَإِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ أَنَّكُمْ لَا تَفِيئُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. And I also know that this will not bring you to what is right. وَإِنَّ فِيكُمْ مَنْ يَطْرَحُ فِي الْقَلِيبُ وَمَنْ يُحَزِّبُ الْأَحْزَابُ. That amongst you are those who are going to deeply reject it and divide the people. Right? ثم قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, then the Holy Prophet said, يا أيتها الشجرة, O tree, now addressing the tree, يا أيتها الشجرة, إن كنت تؤمنين بالله واليوم الآخر وتعلمين أني رسول الله فانقلعي بعروقك حتى تقفي بين يدي بإذن الله. The Holy Prophet is addressing the tree that if you, O tree, believe in Allah and on the Day of Judgment and also know that I am the Messenger of Allah, then get uprooted from your roots and come and stand next to me by the permission of Allah. Right? See what happens. فَوَالَّذِي بَعَثَهُ بِالْحَقِّ. This is Imam Ali reporting. فَوَالَّذِي بَعَثَهُ بِالْحَقِّ لانقلعت بعروقها وجاءت لها دوي شديد وقصف كقصف أجنحة الطير حتى وقفت بين يدي رسول الله مرفرفة وألقت بعضها الأعلى على رسول الله وببعض أغصانها على منكبيه وكنت عن يميني. Imam Ali al-Islam is saying, as the moment the Prophet said this, the tree jumped from its roots and came down gliding to the Holy Prophet as the birds, the wings of a bird glide. Gliding to the Holy Prophet and rested some of its branches over the Holy Prophet and some on the shoulders of the Holy Prophet. And I was standing on his right hand side, Imam Ali al-Islam. فَلَمَّا نَظَرَ الْقَوْمُ إِلَىٰ ذَلِكَ قَالُوا عُلُوًا وَاسْتِكْبَارًا. When the people saw this, now they were, you know, عُلُوًا وَاسْتِكْبَارًا, in an arrogant tone they said, فَمُرْهَا فَلْيَأْتِكَ نُصْفَهَا وَيَبْقَى نُصْفُهَا. Now the goal position is shifted. They told the Holy Prophet, command the tree that half of it stays there and half of it comes to. فَأَمَرَهَا بِذَلِكَ فَأَقْبَلَ إِلَيْهِ نُصْفَهَا كَأَعْجَبِ إِقْبَالٍ وَأَشَدِّهِ دَوِيًّا فَكَادَتْ تَلْتِفُ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. So when the Holy Prophet did that, exactly what happened, half of it stayed there, half of it came to the Holy Prophet. فَقَالُوا كُفْرًا وَعْتُوًّا. Now denying and rejecting what they had seen, in that tone they said, فَمُرْ هَذَا النَّصْفَ لِيَرْجَعْ إِلَىٰ نُصْفُهُ كَمَا كَانْ. Tell this half now to go back to that other half and be as it was. فَأَمَرَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰهِ سَلَّمْ فَرَجَعَ. So when the Prophet ordered the tree, it went back. Khutbah number 192. Now Imam Ali al-Islam is commenting. He narrated the whole incident, then he is saying, فَقُلْتُ أَنَا. At that time I said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ إِنِّي أَعْوَلُ مُؤْمِنٌ بِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I am the first one who have brought faith on you, O Messenger of Allah. وَأَوَّلُ مَنْ أَقَرُّ بِأَنَّ الشَّجَرَ فَعَلَتْ مَا فَعَلَتْ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And I am the first one to testify that this tree has done what it has done by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali al-Islam is standing next to the Holy Prophet. وَأَوَّلُ مَنْ أَقَرَّ بِأَنَّ الشَّجَرَ فَعَلَتْ مَا فَعَلَتْ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى تَصْدِيقًا بِنُبُوَّتِكَ وَأَجْلَالًا لِكَلِمَتِكَ. It has done what it has done by permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ratify, to endorse that you are truly the Messenger of Allah, right? فَقَالَ الْقَوْمُ كُلُّهُمْ بَلْ سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ عَجِيبُ السَّحَرِ. That this is a magician, a liar with powers of magic that we have never seen before. خَفِيفٌ فِيهِ وَهَلْ يُصْدِقُكَ فِي أَمْرِكَ إِلَّا مِثْلُ هَذَا. That means at that time they were so surprised, they turned to the Holy Prophet and they said, you are a liar and you are a magician with amazing kind of sorcery, and nobody but people like him, Ya'nuni. Imam Ali al-Islam is saying in the khutbah, they were accusing me of being a sorcerer. Only a person like me can accept what the Holy Prophet has done. وَإِنِّي لَمِنْ قَوْمٍ لَا تَأْخُذُهُمْ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Then Imam Ali al-Islam goes on to explain about him that I am from a people who will not accept, who will not bend down to people's pointing fingers, people saying, I watch it, that is not me. Then Imam Ali al-Islam goes on to explain him. The khutbah itself shows that that miracle that took place in front of Imam Ali al-Islam's eyes, he narrated, and he was the first one immediately to say that this tree has done what it has done bi amrillahi ta'ala. Right? So it took place. First of all, that incident took place. That incident took place. These people came asking the Prophet, do this for us. The Prophet did it. But when the Prophet replied, فَإِنْ فَعَلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ, if Allah does that, Imam Ali al-Islam then at the end says, I bear witness that this has happened, this tree has done by the permission of Allah. But all the time it does not negate the concept that they have the powers to command the trees or the stones or the clouds to do whatever. Right? And this is one of the most authentic hadith. I mean, you can't bihar mati on tamir jivanchi on tamir jivanchi bihar lanwar chie, you know. But this is from Mahajj al-Balagha. Imam Ali al-Islam has said this. Okay, he saw this happening with the Holy Prophet. Okay. Whilst we were breaking up for prayers, Azad Bhai asked a question. Question is very simple. If you had the choice to ask from Allah or the Imams, what would you do? What would you do? Not the answer as much, the answer does not matter as much as how you derive the answer. This is more important. Why? If you say, why do you imam pass it? Fine. Shamati imam pass it. Khana khuda pass it. Ne khuda pass it. Shamati imam pass it. They have the powers. If we have established that they have the powers, wilayat taqwiniya, that Allah has given them, that they can do things that no ordinary human beings can do. Do things that are miracles. They can cure the sick. They can revive the dead. They can do all these things. So, pachi apne jare mangwan hoy to khuda pase mangsu ke imam pase mangsu? That is the question. Sorry?
Imam
pase mangsu. Shamati. The answer is not important.
Imam, because Allah likes it.
No. Because Allah likes us asking from Imams?
And how many times the Quran says to ask from Master Prophet,
for example? Does it say that in the Rasul? That means the Holy Prophet would seek forgiveness for them. The only verse, mind you, the verse that proves the intermediary is وَبْتَهُ إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you seek towards Him an intermediary, wasila. Right? So to get to Him, look for something that will get to you faster. But at the same time, on the same token, there are verses that say فَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. That when my worshipper, ibadi, asks about me, then say that I am very close. Ujibu da'wat da'i ila da'ani. I will respond to the prayers if they ask from me. Da'ani. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so close to us that in one place it says, Aqrabu min hablil. It is closer, He is closer than that. But more closer, يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. That means it is He who is there between a person and his deeper consciousness, his inner consciousness. So even the thoughts that come to our mind, Allah is there. So Allah is so close. So Quran yandar, He says that He will answer the prayers that if we ask from Him. He is so close, closer than the jugular vein. No, closer than that. يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِ. He is even closer. So when we ask from Him or we ask from Allah? Sorry? Just a moment, Jesus. Ha? Sayfai sajadiyama. خدا پاسے دے ماں ریت چھے کہ کیتنا خدا پاسے دعا مانگو برابر Ahsan. Imam Sikhai Bisham, the Imams have taught us that we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar, the job of the Doji, huh? Ah, Tamimna Samuel, you who counts you, Tamim, you could have a Simangoni. Tamar, fine. Anybody? Nobody? I want to drink my tea, please. Askar Ali, what do you think? Classic scenario. You have a problem. You have a problem that, say for example, Khuda na kare, mar bachu bimar hoy, no medicine can cure the child. What do I do? Lay down for haram masjid. Pray to? Shirk nadi. Pray to both. Huh?
I think it's for me, pray to both doesn't make sense. You don't, you see, you just, whoever you pray, you are praying to Allah. At the end of the day. Imam tu mange, it's not directly mange. Imam tu mange, so it is like you are making a better case for yourself. All you are saying is, naha kompa, ana tu.
He is closer to you.
I think essentially we are asking from God, isn't it?
So the question then comes.
Because it's all bismillah, even if they were to be able to hear. So it means no difference.
If you say that, then why not cut out the middleman, go direct?
Because he says, come to me through my wasilah.
That's what I'm saying, right?
You see,
let me just,
I think that's an important point that you have made. When we pray to these people, we are not praying to ordinary people. I'm not praying to you or you praying to me. We are praying to people because of the fact that they have powers endowed unto them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in actual fact, you are praying to people or asking from people who Allah has endowed them with the power. Right? So it all ends up to Allah. But just because they have the powers does not mean that we don't know. Negative, there are people who will say that tumhe ya Ali madad na bol. Right? Classic example, this is not only, I'm not talking of only Wahhabis or non-Shias, I'm talking of some Shias who now want to argue the case. If you go to a maternity ward, there is a Sunni lady and a Shia lady. Typical, classical example, right? Both about to give birth and scream. One is saying, Ya Allah, the other is saying, Ya Ali, what happens? Nobody is saying Ya Ali is instead of Allah. Right? There is a certain status given to Imam Ali al-Islam which is proved in the Holy Quran beyond any reasonable doubt. So when we pray to these personalities or we call out to them to help us, it does not mean that we are in any way undermining the authority of Allah. On the contrary, we are praying to them because Allah has endowed them with the power. Right? That has to be understood. We cannot... Our i'tiqad, on these personalities has to increase just by these very facts. Okay, we know the Quran says about them that Allah has given them the power. And these powers can be given to them per se. Right?
On a more on a different note, if you have a problem that you know the solution lies with someone, to approach them is not shirk, because it is one of those. For example, I have a difficulty. Rather than ask, I can just sit at home and pray to God to solve it. or I can go to the person who I know controls it. And I seek his help. And the problem gets sorted out. I don't consider that to be shirk. Because again, it is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will that that person has the ability to help my particular problem. You know? It's like that, there's like a joke that says, okay, a man drowning and he's praying to God save him, you know, and then some people pass by and they say, we'll help you. Then that's alright.
Right,
you know? And then the water goes higher up and then the boat comes and people are saying, we're evacuating, come on, we'll take you. So that's all right. When you say, Rukpa, wait for the helicopter, come on, we'll take you. Okay, I'm praying to God. God
The
imams have an ability.
Absolutely.
And there is no doubt. I mean, when I was in Tehran, Mashhad, I said, let's ring the bells. Good. So I went and asked, what is it with the bells? There is an office there in the Sahan called the Office for Registering
Miracles.
So when a miracle happens, you go and say, I have just come. This was the case. Abhimanato, cured thing. Immediately they will ring the bell. I was there once in a period of about 4 hours continuous. I heard it 3 times. Okay, you know, I was in a continuous spell for 4 hours. I was in the haram. 3 times I heard the bell. That means on an average day, maybe about 10 times, yeah?
Awesome.
It is happening.
People are
bringing desperately ill people there. And it deals with Mangishi Shifat, Kareshi, you know, and Imam Shifat is happening to them. So obviously there is some truth in there. It can't all just make up and all that.
Yeah, but we're not answering the question. The point is that does it make a difference whether you ask Imam or Allah? Or are you saying that if you ask Imam, it happens, if you ask Allah, it wouldn't happen? What are we saying?
No. It shouldn't make a difference. As far as. It can possibly make a difference also. With somebody interceding on your behalf, it can make a difference. What I'm saying is, the question was, should we, especially now that we are faced with non-Shiite Muslims asking us this question, should we be asking from Allah only? I said, fine, we should be asking from Allah. There are certain private things that we should be asking from Allah only. Right? But at the same time, it does not negate this concept that the awliya, the chosen ones of Allah, have been endowed with this ability to respond to our calls, to answer our prayers.
What about the other comment that by asking a imam, we are raising their status, and in that way we are pleasing Allah? Does that make sense? And what Abbas just said, that you were saying that Allah says ask them. Where did that come from?
وَابْتَغُوا إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَةِ Each verse he was referring to, where Allah says that you seek,
find
an intermediary towards Him. So if you choose an intermediary, things will get done faster.
So Allah is recommending to us to do it this way.
Yes, this is proven in the Quran.
So then that's the answer, isn't it?
Of course. But it's not the only answer. I mean, you see, it is there in the Quran. That is why you say, even in the dua that Imam Zainul Abidin al-Islam has taught us in Sahih al-Sajadiyah, even in that dua, it starts with salawat. Now the reason for salawat is that introducing our intermediates, right? We're starting with, and we are ending with that, and in between we have our prayers, right? So meaning that, please, these are the people through which we are asking you from.
Does it depend on who you are?
It depends on what you ask as in legality, this illegal hajat now, in the sense that you don't.
But you said that the imams are endowed with certain powers, not all
powers. The imams have 72 out of 73, right? So one out of 73 could have a such a power.
What he meant is ask one for rain, ask the other one for wealth, stuff like
that. Now, I think it's very important to get the concept straight, because in the minds of lay people, sometimes it gets confused. It gets confused to a point of shirk. That is wrong. to a point ke, you know, ke Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam paas se pucha kare, but not with the idea in mind ke khuda se kind of. Sometimes people get very, I'm not saying in a purposeful way, but they really do miss the point. That is the danger.
Also, in fact, if you want to discuss Bhagavad Gita and Mumbai, you don't see
in America,
because of the restriction.
Everybody says,
yeah, you can't stop there. You try stopping there for 2 minutes.
Okay, do Ilahi Adam al Bala.
Iraq
kina pari?
Iraq.
Iraq kina pari? Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali, Ya Muhammad. Ikfiyani. إنكما كافيان. أما شيء مفاتيح الجنان ما شيء. شغلة سلكم يا دوي راس. يا علي يا محمد يا محمد يا محمد يا علي يا علي يا محمد. اكفياني فإنكما كافيان وانصراني فإنكما ناصران. I am I you are calling out on the Holy Prophet and Imam Ali al-Islam to help me. તમે ખબર છે આમાં પોણો ભાગ નિયત ઉપર આધાર છે. આજે તમે છે ને નિયત ઉપર, ઇટ મીન્સ હાઉ કન્વિન્સ્ડ યુ આર દેટ હી કેન હેલ્પ યુ. યુ સી, આઈ ટેલ યુ કે આઈ નો માય, ફોર એક્ઝામ્પલ, અ કેસ દેટ હેપન ટુ મી દેટ નોબડી કુડ સોલ્વ, બટ આઈ વેન્ટ ટુ બી ઝૈનબ અલૈહા સલામ ઇન શામ એન્ડ આઈ ડીડ ધીસ વિથ ફુલ ફેથ દેટ શી કેન સોલ્વ માય પ્રોબ્લેમ્સ એન્ડ ઇટ વોઝ સોલ્વ રાઈટ. I went with some conviction on her ability to solve my problem. You go there just based on the fact ke maru kaam thai gayu to tamaru kaam ye thase, it will not work. It works on conviction. And that is something that I cannot sort of enhance for you, nor can you for me, by just knowing her. No. It has to come from deep within. It is only when we have that faith will it work, otherwise it will not work, forget. And this is true, you can try.
It's true about the conviction. I remember Father Mahum told me, he was in himself in the Haram of Hazrat Abbas. And there was a man who had been, was being tied, and he every day in the morning for 3 days had been going, he was tying in the green bowl and dua kata manas people. See, that was it. Dua chal to punyani. Maybe he once sitting there and this Bedouin came speaking in one of the, you know, Iraqi dialects. And he came to the Haram, to the Zari, and he said, Salaam alaikum. Salaam alaikum, like this. Yeah, after. And said, today there is some problem, I need some money. Shook. So, you know, people used to put money, they take a one note came and I took his ahsan to the book. So, you know, the person who was trying to heal, they were just looking, you know, this is, what is it? The man came, he expected, he got, he went. And there was nothing, he wasn't surprised or amazed or anything. He just walked out. You know, he said, this is conviction. These people have got a different kind of conviction. And not even all the elaborate rituals. Man up, salam kari, you get what you want.
There was one lecturer, and maybe we can correct this point here, but he was saying that even if you do sijda in front of the haram, there's nothing wrong with that. And he gave the example from the Quran, when Hazrat Yaqub did sijda in front of Hazrat Yusuf. It really depends on the niyyah. How do we, would that be correct?
You see, coming to the point of sajda, in fact, I have a question pending on my table to answer this question. Somewhere here in UK nowadays, they've started the practice. After Matam, they have sajda in front of Hazrat Abbas's Alam. Not even towards Qibla. You see, Hazrat Abbas's Alam is in the center, and they have sajda towards. After finishing Matam, they have sajda, and then they recite Ziyarat or the discourse. And they're saying that this is ta'zim ka sidda. Ta'zim ka, you know, to respect. Sajda in legality This is my opinion. I am not quoting any because no marja will give a ruling. Sajda in legality cannot be performed except for Allah. Any sajda. Even if you remember Surah Yusuf, we did the tafsir, right? We said it was a sajda, but was it the same kind of sajda as they would do sajda in performing that in the namaz, for example? There has to be some difference. Whenever we hear that when the imam comes in, manaso pagge pari jai chhe. You've heard that, right? Pagge pari jai chhe, they fall down to the feet, right? Now, fall down to the feet is what? Sajda kare chhe? There is manifestation of respect without the sajda, without putting your forehead down. You could sit down and touch the feet of a person, right? To show that respect. It does not have to be sajda, because when something that is customarily known, when I say customarily known, I say of, ki asaddo kero shi, that would be wrong. Ki asaddo kero shi, just as he would do in his namaz, he has done this. That cannot be done. That is what the maraj, that a sajda cannot be done for anybody but Allah. That particular action in which the forehead is put on the ground, in front of, in respect of, right? It is not allowed. Hey, abadu yung bolu chho, this very interesting kai ki season chene amna atyare, we are going through the season of Muharram and Safar, where you have a lot of discussion going on through the internet as well as in our mind. Ki bhai, aapre last Jewish, I used to be in East Africa, I don't know if you know. Last nikre, we used to see people taking the flower, asmini, right, from the lash and eat it in front of us, right? And when asked, we would ask, okay, why, what is this? It says, shafaat. I want to share with you only one thing. And this is a very important thing. And that is why you find that whilst these arguments are going on, you will find two extremes of people taking part. Ek outright refusing kya cheje, and ek outright defending kya barabar chhe. Right? The reason is ke ami chane hausa mata ne jare, we had our lecturer who taught us these things. And he said, you have to remember one thing. Ekkal story kali. India ni andar, ek alim hato. This alim, during the days of Muharram, was walking along the street when he saw that a group of young boys who do not understand anything, right, were doing matam. Because nana bacha chhe chara pare, they emulate what the elders do. There the elders have julus kade to agar zuljana nikre ni pachware lako nikre. Right? Zuljana to resemble zuljana of a horse, to resemble zuljana of Karbala. These boys were just imitating and emulating what the elders do. What they had was, in front they had a donkey. And behind they used to, you know, very playfully, bachalshi. Matam kari ne ek bija sathe hasta hoy ne masti karta hoy ne agar gadera ne ki amara zuljana. This alim came and stopped them, because he felt that first of all, having a donkey instead of zuljana was an insult to zuljana. Number two, the kids were making a mockery out of the whole thing, laughing and hoje bacha hoje. So he intervened and dispersed them. That night, this alim saw in his dream that Fatima Zahra alayha salam was there, and he went to pay his respects to her when she turned her face away from him. When she turned her face away, he said, what have I done? A pious alim. So what have I done? She said that you stopped these kids from being something when you don't know what their intention was. এই লোক না দিল মাসু হত তু সু জানে ইউ ডিড নট নো And from that day, this alim vowed that he would never interfere. Right? We are not talking of extreme cases where Allah mendhi liyave ne, mendhi pakkachare ne, aanete. These are extremes. We are talking of manifestation. Because every culture has its own way of manifesting grief. Kevi itna kare, last no julus kade, ke alam kade, alam thi round matam kare, ke be line straight kari ne matam kare. That is cultural. Each society has its own way of manifesting that grief for Imam Hussain al-Islam. You will find the Lebanese do it differently, you will find the Iranians do it differently, you will find the Bahrainis do it differently, you will find the Pakistanis do it differently, everybody does it differently. So we cannot say ki aa matam khoto thai chhe ne aa barabar nathi ne aa saf aam chhe ne olu chhe. It is their style. When it comes to many other things that are, you know, that are questionable, are, you know, practices, is when we start questioning our practices, not condemning each other ki bhai tu khoto kare chhe. Start condemning each other is when this would arise ki bhai kahin niyat thi kare chhe tu jaane. You know that person who kisses the alams when Allah alam thanda karine, I don't believe in that personally. But when I see that person who actually sits down and weeps and cries, right? How do I know what is going through him? What is he thinking about? He probably doesn't know anything about what alam is or what alam thanda thawan hoche. Ene khali bas Karbala na waqi yaad aine rovo. How would I know? If that makes him cry, then so be it. Let that make him cry. As long as he is weeping for Imam Hussain. હું આવીને બીકોઝ આઈ ડોન્ટ લાઈક કે આ આલમ ઠંડા કરવાના વાળી કઈ થતી છે નવા કઈ બંધ કઈ નાખો રાઈટ ને આ જે રોતા એ બધા ખોટા છે દેટ ઇઝ નોટ રાઈટ બીકોઝ દેટ ઇઝ ઇન્ડિવિજ્યુઅલ એવરીબડી હેઝ દેર ઇન્ડિવિજ્યુઅલ વે ઓફ એરાઉઝિંગ ગ્રીફ ઇન અવરસેલ્સ કોઈ આપણે મરશે સાંભળીને એરાઉઝ થઈ જાય છે કોઈ મરલી સાંભળીને ઇઝ મેક અ ડિફરન્સ એઝ લોંગ એઝ ધ ગ્રીફ ઇઝ ફોર ઇમામ હુસૈન એટલે ત્યારથી આઈ પર્સનલી આ જ્યારથી મને ત્યાં હાઉસાની અંદર અમે બધી કહેવામાં આવતું હતું આઈ વુડ નોટ લાઈક ટુ કોમેન્ટ કે આ સાચું છે ને આ ખોટું બધા પોતપોતાની હશે હા જ્યારે વી સ્ટાર્ટ બ્રિંગિંગ ઇન થિંગ્સ કે આ મારા યુ નો શાહ કાસિમના વિવાહ હતા ને મહેંદી આવ્યું ને આ મહેંદી પેલા એ તમે યુ નો મહેંદી લઈ આવ્યા ને શું દટ રીત જે હતી એલો ફ્લાવર ને એલો માટી કચરવાનો આ બધી આપણી રીત છે ઇન્ડિયન વ્યૂ સો ધીઝ આર ધ થિંગ્સ વેર વી ડ્રો લાઈક વી સે કે લુક આ ચીજ ના પડે બટ અધરવાઇઝ વેન ઇટ કમ્સ ટુ વી ડિગ્રેસિંગ વેન ઇટ કમ્સ ટુ ગ્રીફ ઓફ ઇમામ હુસૈન અલ ઇસ્લામ વેન ઇટ કમ્સ ટુ અન્ડરસ્ટેન્ડિંગ ધ પર્સનાલિટીઝ દેટ વી આર ટોકિંગ અબાઉટ ધીઝ આર નોટ ઓર્ડિનરી પર્સનાલિટીઝ The imams. Suddenly we are living in a secular world that we want to compare their knowledge with our knowledge. We want to compare their ability to do right and wrong with our ability to do right and wrong. We want to compare their strength and weaknesses with our strengths and weaknesses. We can't do that. These are people who have achieved some spiritual level so high beyond our imagination. Let's give them the rightful status. We are not making superhumans out of them. We are admitting that if we also carry along the same path, have more faith, we know where we are. Ame pote jo iman vadarsu to ame kai nahi kambar jeva to thai kambar jeva nahi thishe. So we've got to understand these things. Any questions? Ji.
On the tafsir, the mutlaq,
Wilayat.
Jina prayat is
it? Nay, wilayat takwiniya, but this is just establishing the concept, nay? Right? Jina prayat on it.
While we're digressing anyway, people are using this ayat. For example, we have tawiz, we go to Zari and we bring the cloth from the string. People are using this story because it's useful to say there's nothing wrong with that. The shirt, for example, that carried some power. So when we go to Zari, we bring the Lori in Abadu. That itself, just an explanation how that works.
Oh, for the use of the shirt,
yeah.
It carried some power.
That's right.
What power did it carry?
Well, it made his father see.
How? Ah, it made his father see.
Put it on his face and he could see.
Yes.
So when people tell us you shouldn't have Tawiz and whatever, the answer is from here.
Ta'weed is another thing. Again, these are very sensitive issues that only people who have faith in it, right, will continue to do it whatever we tell. And if we are in any way undermining their faith, then we have not tasted the sweetness of faith. Because je manas ne iman hoy chhe ichi jupar. તમે એને પૂછા કરો કે કેવું ઈમાન છે કે હાઉ સ્વીટ દેટ ફેથ ઇઝ કે આઈ એમ કન્વિન્સ ધીસ વિલ વર્ક વોટ એવર હેપન્સ યુ ટેલ મી વોટ એવર ઇટ ઇઝ આ વિચી મને કામ આવે છે કે આ તાવીઝ મને કામ આવે છે કે આ સુરા મને કામ આવે છે કે આ દુઆને જોઉં ઓલો નકશોને જોઉં ત્યારે યુ નો વોટ નકશો ઇઝ રાઈટ નકશાને જોઉં મને કામ આવે છે ઓલ ધીસ રિવાયતમાં છે નથી વી કેન આર્ગ્યુ ઇન એબસ્ટ્રેક્ટ કે છે કે નથી
Rooted in
something. I mean, there was superstition in the time of the Prophet, and the Prophet was saying, "Yeah, but he was superstitious." I remember in Sham, when in the bus, and there was a woman reading to another woman, and one of the fellows said, "I'm super English." It was that grid, fal. So she is actually interpreting the fal. So when the fal called no chu, am thase, then thase. It was a grid. Am Allah's names, numbers across this way,
much more
like a pictogram, right? And she actually upar ayat, upar it interprets it, and all this. I've seen it tons of times. I've never investigated it. I don't believe it is linked to Imam.
You see, the powers that are there in the verses of the Holy Quran have been abused. I mean, we come back from East Africa, I don't know. I'm going to add this, the sorcerer back in East Africa is called Malim. Right? What is Malim? Malim means Malim. Je sheikh hoy tyano Quran no log khazu pe topi peri ne ene pase jao ke ane ganga kari liyo ane witchcraft kari liyo. Why? Because ola maya ilai ne he takes an egg and writes a verse of the Holy Quran and says ki go and put this and dump this near the backyard or the house of this person, you want this to affect. So the abuse has been from the Holy Quran. We must also admit that sorcery itself, Amachie, there is a whole study in this book. It's not in this book, it's in another book. Sorcery itself, whether it exists, it doesn't exist. It exists with the name of Allah or without the name of Allah. The Quran ayato ti thai chi nati thato. What was the Nabi Dawood na time, ma yufarriqul talut? Talut
and Marut in Babel.
Yeah. There were people who were teaching men how to live between couples. Right? Right. Any questions? No questions. Hey, wilayat amma we have understood. We're talking of general law, right? We have talked so far about general issues. And I will not go into specifics today. I will only give you some light, which is yet to come, on how to prove that this particular wilayat belongs to Imam Al-Mirishlam from the Quran. Because mind you, it's not that we want to answer the Sunnis, we want to understand that Imam Al-Mirishlam ne mane chhe, it is not only based on historical facts of what we know in history. Quran ni andar chhe, right? Of course, Quran ma Imam Ali Islam no naam nahi. But what happens ke Quran ni andar kai ayat was referring to him, unanimously accepted by Muslims, ke it was referring to the fact that he is going to be the successor to the Holy Prophet. Right? Aim karine ye hame discuss karso. There are five verses. Again, there will be a repeat of verses, yeah? The same verses that were used for general wilayat will be used for special wilayat as well. The same verse is Ayat al-Tabliq, Ayat al-Wilaya, Ayat al-Amr, Ayat al-Sadiqin, Ayat al-Qurba. These are five verses that we will study. Ayat al-Tabliq, kay verse?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Kay kaat, kay kaat, sir? No, no, kaat, sir. Samru, sir. You're going to
bol. No, I know one of the years is less than the
which one is it?
The left one. Ayat al-Tabliq. Ayat Tabliq is Balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa in lam taf'al ballaghta risalata rabbik. Right? Now, that particular verse, it also has Wallahu ya'asimuka min al-nas, and you know all these concepts that have to be studied and understood, and then related to history, ke suthyu, give you a whole picture of Ghadir, ke what happened, right? From the Quran and history related to the revelation of the verse. آيات الولاية إنما وليكم الله والرسول والمؤمنون. إذن يهو أولي الأمر أطيعوا الله والرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. إذن يهو آيات الصادقين كونوا مع الصادقين. Last time we did that. And you have آيات القربة قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربة. But this is particularly talking about the right of successorship of Imam Ali al-Islam to the Holy Prophet. There are 23 other verses in the Holy Quran that talk about Imam Ali al-Islam being the best person during the time after the Prophet. What we say in Arabic, al-afdaliyya. Afdaliyya means afdal, best person. Right? And there are 20, these 23 verses are verses that indicate from a hadith of Shia and Sunni sources that Imam Ali al-Islam is referred to as the most knowledgeable, most brave, most strong, most learned person after the Holy Prophet. That is why in incidents where the Prophet wanted the most learned, he took Ali, the most brave, he took Ali, the most, and so on. 23 other verses that we will look at. So it's going to be a long stretch, right? It shows that Imam Ali al-Islam is definitely the person that should rightfully succeed the Holy Prophet. So we finish, we end then to prove that naqlan and aqlan. Naqlan means in narration, Quran, ne hadith. And aqlan based on proving the superiority of Imam Ali al-Islam over all his other all the other companions of the Holy Prophet. That aqlan also logically, he has to be the rightful successor to the Holy Prophet. We shall start this not next Monday, because next Monday we are closed for Ashr Zanabiyah. Right? We are starting the Monday after next Monday, inshallah. And we start the Monday after next Monday at 7:45, please. Please, 7:45. Inshallah. If there are no tables next time, we'll just sit down.
Can I ask a question about finishing the subject? Is there anything in Quran or Hadith that says that we can ask our Prophet or Imam, even though they are not alive?
Ha! Who will answer this question? Come on, this is a simple question now. Ahsant, who is that answer? Ahsant. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Then do not consider those who have been slain in the way of Allah as dead, but they are alive, receiving sustenance from their Lord. So we maintain that our prophets and imams are not dead. They are alive. Like all other martyrs who died are not dead, receiving sustenance from Allah. I mean, it's not mentioned once, it's mentioned twice, I think, in the Holy Quran. Right, no more questions. Next Monday there's no classes. The Monday after, inshallah, at 7:45, please. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you.